Amen. I'm going to call your attention now to Numbers chapter 6. Very popular text, Numbers chapter 6. If you don't mind resting on your feet as we read the word together, Numbers chapter 6. This is a reminder for every child of God. Amen. For all who call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Numbers chapter 6. We're going to start our reading at verse 23. You know it. This is often called the benediction. Amen. It reads like this. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," somebody's still turning. I'll let you. Genesis, Exodus. Amen. Amen. Leviticus, Numbers. Amen. 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 Numbers chapter 6. Amen. If you are near Corinthians or even Psalms, you need to make a left. Amen. Numbers chapter 6. Amen. You ought to look on if you can, if not the deco, but it's a powerful word. I want you to get this word. Numbers chapter 6, and we'll start reading at verse 23. "Speak now to Aaron and the sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Amen. Do me a favor and touch three people and just say, "The blessing of the Lord." Now say it with a smile. You can't say this and not smile. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. Amen. The blessing of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. In so many ways, it's simple. Let me pray first. And now, God, afresh, we confess we need you just to preach the word through us, God. We thank you for being the centerpiece of our joy. We thank you for being the focal point of our heart. We've come here for one purpose alone, and that's to worship you, God. So allow your words to permeate our hearts, Lord. We want your word to soak in us, amen, Lord, get in our minds, so that anything that's contrary to your word might be driven out by your word. We know there's power in your word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So now, God, preach, teach, speak to us by your Holy Spirit, solo Deo glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is a really popular text. It's one of those texts that all of us can almost recall without reading. We hear it frequently, particularly if you've been in the church for a little while. We do, so we know it in many ways. But one of the challenges with popular texts is sometimes we know their words, but we don't know all their meaning. And this text is rooted in the theology of God's blessing, that God has committed to bless his people. It's dynamic because in order to understand it, you have to understand the historical and theological backdrop of the blessings of God. Really, so get this with me. In fact, what you're seeing here is seen elsewhere in the scriptures. It's also seen in Genesis. In Genesis 48, there's this wonderful scene where who we often call Jacob, but God calls Israel, is now getting the privilege or the blessing or the answered prayer to see his son Joseph again. And he says, this is in Genesis 48, beginning at verse 8, he says that this is such a blessing because I didn't even know if I was going to see you, Joseph, again, but I get to see your children. So he says in Genesis 48, he says, beginning at verse 8, he says, "Why don't you bring your children to me so that I can bless them?" This is a very biblical, very theological, very historical practice of the blessing of the father. And it's passed on, blessing, the patriotic blessing, to the blessing of the priest in our text that we're exploring today. But I should tell you, as Joseph brings his children to Israel, he brings to him Manasseh and Ephraim. But if you look at the text, something happens strange there. Because as he brings his children to him, he brings to him Manasseh and Ephraim. But in response, Israel, who we call Jacob, instead of blessing Manasseh, he blesses first Ephraim. In fact, Joseph has to interrupt and says, wait, my father. His father is elderly. His sight has diminished. And so Joseph thinks that his father, Jacob, who is really Israel, is making a mistake. He thinks that this is an error. He thinks that this is a flawed blessing. He thinks that this blessing is not an accurate blessing. And so what he does is he says, wait, Daddy. He says, wait, Israel, you need to switch them because you got to bless the older child first. And in response, although he cannot see, in response, although he's not strong in physical body anymore, Jacob or Israel says, oh no, I know what I'm doing. And so in that moment, he crosses his hands and he takes his left hand and he blesses the older child, but then he takes his right hand and he blesses Ephraim. Oh, you missed it. Right there, something great happens because it shows how God's blessings are so often counterintuitive. Okay, it shows how so often what we expect God to do, the way we expect God to do it, he doesn't do it that way. But he gives an upgrade on the blessing. Now, I know for some of us this is difficult because we've been taught that there's this quid pro quo, that I've done this and I'll do that so I'll get this. And don't get me wrong, you do reap what you sow. But somehow, you got to understand that every blessing that you know, that every blessing that you've experienced, that every blessing that's come into your presence is all because God crossed his hands. All because God decided in the cross, I'm going to bless you in spite of. I'm going to give you more than you deserve. I'm going to meet you in a better way than you could expect. I've got something for you that you can't anticipate, that your mind can't understand. You can't comprehend the blessings that God has for you. You can't put your finger on it because God's too good. God's too gracious. God, okay, y'all not feeling me. It was in the Bahamas this time last month, September 5th. A storm came through. A storm came through the Bahamas, and it messed up a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of people. But look, in response, in Virginia, Hampton University said, what we're going to do, we're going to open up our doors to anybody from the Bahamas who wants to come and be a student. So literally, they welcomed all these people in who had just been through a storm. Now think about this. Look, you expect a storm to be a bad thing, but do you know that God will use a storm to bless you? That God will use a storm to get you a degree? That God will get you a storm? Can you imagine a guy named Jimmy? Jimmy was working his job and going to his little house every day. He working his job and all of a sudden he gets to his little house and his house is messed up and torn down by a storm, and now he's at Hampton University and a pre-med student. Can you see God using a storm to bless you? You better get this, because look, God says, I can do counterintuitive blessings, that I can cross my hands and give you a blessing. Now fast forward to the book of to Numbers. Incidentally, Numbers, we call it Numbers because the Hebrew Bible often uses the first word. But if you were talking to a Hebrew person, they wouldn't call it Numbers. They'd call it wandering, because the people are wandering. But look, while they're wandering, God is blessing. Yeah. And God says, give them a special blessing, a blessing that will go with them all the days of their life, a blessing that they can hold on to. And he says, this is the priestly blessing I want you to give them. And so I want you to get this, because this will change your life. In fact, it's Niebuhr who says that the blessing of God is the transformational power of God, meaning that God will transform your world through a word of blessing. Look at the text, because the first thing it says, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. So you know the word bless is a simple word. It's Barak. But Hebrew words are often pictures. And the picture of Barak is literally a kneeling down and presentation. Okay, some of y'all married. You remember, hopefully, when your husband proposed to you, he kneeled down. Well, so really, it's the idea of a father getting down to a child to give them a gift. Please understand that the first thing this is God gifting you. God giving you a gift. not just any gift, not just a little gift, but a gift that you couldn't earn, a gift that you didn't deserve, a gift that's too big to imagine, a gift that you couldn't get to, so it had to come to you. It's the kneeling down and presenting a gift. Oh, y'all missing this. And God is still gifting us today. God has gifted, he's barocked us today. He's knelt down and presented before us a gift from his hand. And you know that anything that comes from God, in fact, James says it this way. He says, every good and perfect gift still comes from the Father of lights. You better get this, that God has a way of kneeling down and presenting us with a great, great gift. Okay, y'all not feeling me. I was trying to figure out how substantial this is theologically. You know, we use the word bless all the time, and sometimes we use it so lightly that it loses its meaning. Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you. Did you sneeze? Bless you. But look, this is something much bigger. This is something much more transformative. This is something much more powerful. Okay, so I was thinking of a way, and God showed me an image. Look, I was driving on the freeway, but the traffic was thick. Yeah, the traffic was thick, and so I was going real slow. And I noticed up in the distance to my right, there was a little doggy on the side of the freeway. And quick thought that came to mind said, that doggy is a dead dog. That dog is gone. Because there's no way for the dog to get where it needs to get so it will live. Because there was a wall to its right, and there were cars in front of it. There were big cars and little cars. I knew that dog was a guy. Yeah, that dog was going to be gone real soon. I didn't even want to watch the dog, because all I would see is the dog get killed. But as I was driving, I noticed a car pulled up way in front of me and pulled in front of the dog. A man got out of his car, and he began to run towards that dog. And he came before the dog and negotiated with the dog. And finally, he picked up the dog, and he put the dog in his car. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. You need to see this, because the dog could not rescue himself. Nothing the dog could do. The dog could go bow wow and arf arf. The dog could scratch at the wall. The dog could run up and down the freeway. But the dog could not rescue himself. The dog had to be rescued. The dog had to be redeemed. The dog had to be brought into the arms of a caring father. Can I talk to you for a moment? You have been gifted. You've been rescued. You see, it's coming down through 42 generations, I could say, but it's the coming to rescue us. That's what God has done. You are blessed. Okay, now I know one of the challenges, many of us have belief systems that go against what God's word says. We don't believe, Pastor Thorpe. We don't believe that we're blessed. We don't believe that we're blessed in the field. We don't believe that we're blessed in our going. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody in here. You don't believe you're blessed, and I've come by to tell you, you are. Okay, all right, let me give you the first one. First, that God is going to gift us, but then it's God is going to guard us. Do you see it? The Lord bless you and the Lord. That is Shamar, right? It's the idea of you being protected. Yeah. Saints used to say it this way, oh, to be kept. Yeah. Oh, to be kept. The reason you're here today is because God has kept you. You are evidence that you've been kept. It's the idea of protecting. It's literally the idea of a bodyguard. Yeah, yeah. That God's guarding you everywhere you are. That's God going before you, in front of you. And God's keeping watch over you. And God is making sure, like the bodyguard in the movie, that nothing happens to you that doesn't come through his nailed, scarred hands. You need to get this. That God is your guard. Yeah. Wherever I go, let your spirit. God is guarding you. God is watching over you. Do you know you never had a splinter that God didn't allow for? Do you know that you never had a paper cut that God didn't see and God didn't heal? Everything that's come to you has come through. Y'all not feeling this. Y'all need to get this. Because think, you don't ever have to be afraid again a day in your life, because God has an alarm system on your soul. God is walking around. God has a hedge of protection. Ooh, I could go to Psalm 91, because it simply says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on to let us know that all around us there's a force field. God is shamaring. God is guarding us.
Okay, I see the problem, brother. Look, Terry Smith, the reason they're not feeling this is because you're saying, well, Reverend, you don't know some of the stuff I've been through. If you know what I've been through, then you wouldn't say that God is guarding me everything, because I've been through this, and I got hit by this, and I got hurt by that. God's not guarding everything. Yes, he is, because Shamar doesn't just mean to protect. Shamar also means to preserve. Okay, y'all. Woo. I asked the Lord to help me make this plain, and my grandma came to mind. My grandma used to make vegetables, and she used to take fruit, and she would take these cans, and she would seal them. She would boil them. She would literally boil the jars with the jar tops, and it would put a seal on what was ever in them. And literally, it would last for months because she sealed it. Do you know that's what God has done through you? And look, it's the idea that if he didn't protect me from it, he preserved me through it. God, would you help me? God, you gotta help me. Come here. Look, you remember the three Hebrew boys in Genesis, the three Hebrew boys? They said, look, they said, now our God is able, but if he doesn't, we'll still worship him, right? And look, God put them through the fire. But look, in putting them through the fire, he preserved them through the fire. Some of the stuff that you got to go through, God says, I'm still going to preserve you. Okay, here's a test. I want to make sure you've been preserved all the days of your life. Are you here? Are you breathing? Are you in your right mind? Don't lie to me about it. If you're here, if you're breathing, if you still got breath in your lungs, then you ought to know that you are preserved. Oh, to be kept by Jesus. You are preserved. You've been kept. You may have had some tears, but you've been kept. You may have had some bruises, but you've been kept. You may have had some hard times and some nervous times and some disappointing times, but he kept you. He preserved you. And because he's a preserver, because you still got breath in your lungs, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's good to know that I'm preserved. It's good to know that you're preserved. It's good to know that God is your lifesaver, that God is your keeper, that if he has to land you on the Hudson, he'll still keep you, because that's the kind of God that we serve. God blesses, he gives the gifting to. God keeps, he guards us. But that's not all. It says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Hallelujah. I got to go. You've been wonderful. I got two more things I got to get in, but my time's running out. Hey, look, he says, the Lord make his countenance, his face to shine upon you. Now, there's a lot in that, particularly if you understand countenance or the face. It's the character of God. But if you were to look at it and sort of summarize it, it's the glory of God on you and then in you. Okay. All right. Look. God says that, look, because you are my child, because I've given you my name, that means I've given you my character. He says, now my glory is not just on you, but my glory is shining through you. All right. Gideon, he says, take these pots, and they put in the pot light, you know. And so Paul comes on later on and says that we are like broken vessels, but we have this precious treasure in us. It is the gospel. And whenever the gospel is inside of you, then God's glory is on you. Whenever God's glory is on you, then God's glory will shine. Okay, Matthew chapter 5 says, no man takes a light and hides it. It says, let this light of Christ be in you and shine. You are his light. Come here. It's a transition now, because it's not just blessings to you and about you, but now you are a blessing to the world. Now you have a light that shines in dark places. You are a light for the world. You've got God's glory in you. You've got God's grace and glory that shines and is this great sign for the world to see that God is active in this age, that God is active in this world, that God's light is shining upon you, something like a star reflecting the sunlight. You're shining for the world to see that God is in you and in this place, that God is active. In fact, you know, when you shine the brightest when things are the darkest. And so God says, now that I've blessed you and now that I'm keeping you, go ahead and shine for the world to see. Shine so that people might know that God is active in this age. Shine so that people might come to Christ. Shine so that people who are hopeless might have hope. Shine so that people who have lost their joy might find joy again. Shine for the world to see. As I take my seat, it says, look, and be gracious to you. This is what God's doing. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our friend Ralph West helped me out with this because he said, notice that whenever you see peace, that before you see peace, you see grace. Because if you really want to understand God's peace, you got to understand his grace. Because really, peace is not what you have. Peace is not what you own. Peace is not what's in your pocket or your bank account. Peace is not what you drive. Peace isn't even your physical health. But peace is a place that you get to. Peace is the place of rest. Peace is the place of trust. Peace is knowing that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Peace is knowing that God has washed me and cleansed me. And no more does he call me a sinner, but he calls me a saint. Peace is knowing that the peace of God is before us and with us, and we're blessed to have God in our life. Peace is knowing that nothing can happen to us that God hasn't affirmed and allowed. Peace is knowing that there's a God. Okay, all right. I'm going to take my seat. I started off, and I guess I didn't make it clear, because I was trying to say when I talked about Ephraim and Manasseh that whenever you consider the blessings of God, always remember that every blessing comes through the cross. That every blessing you've ever known, come here, every blessing that you will ever receive, and every blessing that's around us and before us is always because of the cross. Because of Calvary's cross, you are blessed. Yeah. Because of Calvary's cross, you are kept. Because of Calvary's cross, no matter what happens to us, God says, I've got you. Because of my cross, I'm a keeper. Because of my cross, you're blessed. You've got my name on you because of the cross of Calvary. Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, you do. We can trust God. We can celebrate God. We can worship God because of the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens and the troubles and the worries and the hurts of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now, right now, I'm happy all the day. Let the church say yeah. The doors of the church are open. Means if you're here today, let's stand to our feet. We're praying that if there's someone here today, they're uncertain about their relationship with Jesus Christ. They're uncertain about what God is doing or where God is. And you might even be wondering if God is still active, if God is still faithful, if God has still befriended you. You might be wondering, God, you can't be on my side because this hurts too bad. You can't be. And I just want to let you know that you can believe beyond a doubt. He says, because you're my child, that practice of blessing that you saw in Genesis 48 literally had to do with adopting. It's the idea that God has adopted us, that we are his people,
that you and I, I'm his child. Why don't you say, I'm his child. Say, I'm his child. Some sisters say, I'm his daughter. I don't know about your father, but I know you have a perfect father. One that's compassionate, gracious, loving, gentle, kind. I'm his daughter. Some brother, you ought to say, I'm his son. Come on, say it. I'm his son. Yeah. We're a son. Christ is our elder brother. The doors of the church open first. That means if you're here today and you desire to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. He begins a work in your life where he transforms you, works on you. He conforms you to his will like the potter and the clay. That's what God does. If you're here today and you desire to be saved, you can do that right now. You say, well, why I got to do it in front of everybody? I'm going to come to you after church and say, look, man, I want to receive Christ. But I'm saying that the scriptures are clear that God calls us to be unashamed, to be bold enough to come publicly. Publicly. Salvation. Membership. If you're here today and you don't have a church family, this is a wonderful church. God is doing a great thing here. Great people who love the Lord. A legacy of love. A church that's helping the community and touching people and doing so much to spread the love of Christ. You ought to join this wonderful family of faith. You can do that right now by taking a step of faith. There are some classes that you want to sit through so you can learn about Shiloh, but you can join today. Is there one for salvation? Is there one for membership? Is there one for baptism? What is baptism? Baptism is when you not only receive Christ in your heart, but you let the world know that you are a child of God through baptism. Christ was baptized as a symbol and a message to you and me. And we're called to be obedient. Is there one? Salvation. Is there one? Come on. Is there one? Is there one? Membership. Is there one for baptism? Do me a favor and just check in with your neighbor. Don't be rough. Don't be rude. Just ask him, can I walk with you? Can I walk with you? Can I walk with you? Can I help you and encourage you down this aisle? Well, hallelujah and praise God. Hallelujah and praise God. Amen.